worship team led us, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried Jesus? Have you tried him and found him to be everything that you ever needed to be? That's what it means to prove him. And you know him for yourself. Thank God for my mother. I thank God for my grandmother. I thank God for my father who knew and knows Jesus. But I thank God for Jesus for myself. Give him praise if that's true for you. Don't clap for me. Clap for Jesus. Clap for the lily of the valley. Clap for the bright and morning star. Clap for the friend of sinners. Clap for the man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. Clap for the Ancient of Days. Clap for the rock that you will stand on. Clap for Jesus Christ, who healed the sick, who raised the dead, who gave sight to the blind, who cleansed the lepers, who shielded the woman from being stoned. If you tried that Jesus, if you know that Jesus, then you will have joy in your heart. You will have gladness in your soul, and you will have praise coming up. So when those hymn writers wrote a long time, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, or Joseph Scrivener said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Have you proved Jesus? Don't leave here today without being sure that he is your Lord and Savior. Brother David and I had a conversation before this service. He was moved with a passion of a scripture that the Lord put on his heart. If Christ not be raised from the dead, our preaching is in vain. So all the gathering and all the celebrations, all the services and all that, if there is not a living God, it's all for naught. But friends, church family, we have one who sticks closer than a brother. One who says he won't leave us but will send the comfort of the Holy Spirit. One who is so available to me and to you. That's the one. It's not in vain because of Jesus Christ. So let's pray to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. In fact, that so much the theme of today is thankfulness and gratitude to you. Touch our hearts and our minds that we are aware of who you are and what you've done. Psalmist said, by your spirit, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his, your holy name, and forget none of your benefits. Help us to live lives aware and conscious of your goodness to us in the cross. May it transform our minds and our hearts so that how we would live before you would be an expression of gratitude. Hide me behind the cross right now that I might speak to your people from your word and your spirit will give what is needed. And by your grace, would you supply some for me too? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated and let's thank the Lord. Yes. Grateful and glad to be here today. And let's thank God for the worship team and wonderful selections that were sung. Thank you. And Brother Jeff, I appreciate you listening to the Spirit and taking us into that song again. So as we continue on, and by the way, let's thank the Lord for our associate pastor, Ron Cole, and how the Lord uses him. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I like to have a good time. And in this life where it can be filled with plenty of troubles, it's good to not take oneself too seriously. I know I may talk about serious things, but it's also good to laugh and enjoy fellowship with each other and with our God. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you're following along in your Bible, and maybe you've been here through in this series, we're going to be finishing up in the book of Philippians. It's a letter that God gave to the Apostle Paul to his people. As I walk through this text of Scripture with you, we'll be in the fourth chapter, by God's grace, beginning at the 10th verse. Just mindful that the church, we've been on a journey together. I'm grateful to be a part of it. Grateful to partner with you in the gospel message. The church is going through a season of transition, and there'll be a point in time in which the Lord, if he tarries, will call us another pastor to be here. Just know that I love this church. It's a church family to me. But I recognize that we're in a season, and as seasons change, the Lord, if he tarries, will send another to serve you in that way. So personal application here for me. May I also share that in the life of the individual as well as in the church, thankfulness and gratitude is a very powerful thing. This by way of introduction. Much of we read in this letter, the Apostle Paul, good to see you, Apostle Paul has been commending the church and writing from jail. Now, many of us are aware we have jails and prisons in the U.S., and they're not a nice place to be. Definitely if you're committing crimes, you may need to be there if that's the case, but all that to say, not to be facetious, generally Roman prisons were dank and cold, and they were basically a hole in the ground that you were lowered into, and you were in a cold, dark place. You weren't close to, really, quite frankly, the runoff of the refuse of the city. And so many Roman prisons were places that people went to rot and to die or wait for execution. But yet, from this prison, he writes to one of the churches that the Lord had used Paul to establish. If you're familiar, and this is all introduction, hang with me. In the book of Acts, him and Silas are walking through the city, and there's a lady who's demonized and saying, these are men coming to proclaim the gospel, and the Lord uses Paul to deliver this woman from being demonized. That's in this area of Philippi. And then also, they're in prison, and they're singing to the Lord, and there's a great move of God, and the prison gates are opened up, and the Philippian jailer is ready to take his life. Because if you're in a Roman army and you were in charge of taking care of prisoners, and if you lost them, the punishment was severe. Those of you who are historians, the Romans were no joke. Spartans were bad, but the Romans were bad too. And so he's ready to commit suicide, and he said, hey, we're still here, don't harm yourself. And this man is so moved by this that he sees them and asks them, what must I do to be saved? So in Philippi, the Roman jailer and his household become Christians. So God used Paul to take the message of Jesus Christ to a pagan area that was established by the veterans of the Roman Wars. So you had Roman citizens, Roman soldiers alongside Jewish people. And there the gospel began to spread. And as people became Christians by faith in Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, their lives began to change. And they then become partners with him through looking out for him, through giving towards the needs, not just of Paul, but Paul who would visit churches. Sometimes the churches would find themselves in different situations. Now, this is all history, but I'm striving to walk towards the text. I hope you're walking with me. We who are in the body of Christ today in America, we are part of a larger Christian family. This many of you know. So the body of Christ, or the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ, you have brothers in Christ who are worshiping the Lord in Europe right now, or South America, or Asia, or Africa, or in the Arctic. And so if we get visitors, as we do on a regular basis, your gifts goes towards that work. And Brother Allen just shared a little while ago, and thanks for putting that slide up. I appreciate that. It's good to see that. So we have missionaries that this church supports. And so giving, which I'm going to get to in a moment, is an aspect of worship, but it's also an aspect of partnering with others who are in the same Christian family. Does that make sense? And we here in the U.S., you know, we know about teams and sports and so forth. And just to kind of lighten it a little bit, we're on God's team. And so if anybody on the team is struggling, we want to make sure that they're doing all right. And I'm really excited to see about the work that's being done in this community, helping guys who are down on their time, who've left prison, wanting to live a new life. So that's a part of what you give financially. To the text here. Apostle Paul, throughout this letter, has been encouraging them to have unity, to have joy in the Lord, and we're going to see aspects of this thankfulness that he expresses, and also gratitude. And again, this is all introduction, but I want to take a moment to talk a little bit about this thing of thankfulness and gratitude. To be thankful, just looking at the definition, is an awareness of the benefit that you're receiving. So if you get a plate of food from a loved one or a phone call or a visit and you have a sense that you're receiving something or someone and you yourself are aware of it, and so to be thankful is to be consciously and even from the heart aware that you've received something or someone. Gratitude is the expression of that thankfulness to the other person. Like, I'm thankful for a nice plate of soul food that my sister would make, who went to be with Jesus 2 years ago. My sister Charlene, she can cook. Lord of mercy, she cooked. Thanks, sis. Grateful for you because I know who she is. Jokes she would share, the fun we would have. We grow down south as kids with my parents from Jersey. So I express that inner thankfulness to her. Thanks, sis, you've always been there for me. I appreciate you. I love you. This is something that happens on the inside. It expresses itself on the outside. A part of the Christian life includes thankfulness and gratitude to God. And a part of awareness of his work in your life is that you are aware of the benefits you receive from him every day. Somebody's going to have a birthday coming up. Somebody's going to enjoy a grandchild. Somebody's going to enjoy going home, and you know I like to eat some food. Are we aware and thankful to God for what he gives us? Let me take it a step further. Does it express itself in gratitude outwardly? Because I could be aware and thankful for something, but if I just keep it to myself, it's not going far enough. Hang with me. This is a long introduction. Are you? What is it like to be around people who are not grateful? What is it like? I agree, you stay away from it. What is it like that it seems like everything they say is a complaint? I don't want to hang out there because then I'll be complaining, right? But when people are not grateful for what they have, that's a horrible thing. And there's a book out not too long ago in Reform circles called Respectable Sins. And there's a list of like vulgar sins. All sin is offense to God. All people sin, fall short of glory of God, Romans 3:23. I can maybe make a list of things that you would say, you know, killing, murder, lying, cheating, violence. These are the ones that you would just say no. But do we think about ingratitude that way? Because to not be grateful is a heart expression against your Creator. This letter is a contrast to that. And for people who, you ever have something that's salty and you have it combined with something that you eat that's sweet, it brings out the difference. So right now we're in the salt. Do you know that one of the judgments on the last days is ingratitude? If you take note, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. I love hearing these pages turn. And watch this. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Debbie, you're on point. Ingratitude or being ungrateful is in that list. Sometimes when God repeats himself, it's to emphasize something. In the book of Romans, another indictment, chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, or watch this, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images which they made to look like mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. My brothers and sisters, let's give thanks to God. Let's be grateful to him. Let's savor his goodness so that it so much affects us on the inside and on the outside. We're going to move from the salt and go to the sweet of this text. Beginning at verse 10, Paul to the Philippians. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you are concerned, and thank you, by the way, thank you for this here. Just want to make note of it. I'm going to go back to the test. You're concerned for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied and having received from Epaphroditus, this is one of their own, what you have sent, a fragrant aroma and an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Did you notice that their gift to him was an act of worship? Now, we have to be careful with that because people try to exploit giving in the world. But we're not talking about ill motives. We're talking about groups of people who are genuinely worshiping God and are grateful to him, and it expresses itself with how they care for each other. Let me continue. Verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. And the church said, amen. That's all right. Let's thank the Lord for that. And so as we walk through this text, church family, friends online, and even visitors, thankfulness and partnership in the gospel, we're going to look at this letter, at these scriptures, and we're going back in time with a purpose to draw out what not just they said to them then, but what he has to say to us today. And so I want to offer, by God's grace, and I hope you're praying with me, three things that are drawn from this text. There's plenty more. Grateful giving, content living, and glorifying God. Grateful giving, content living, and glorifying God. Are you with me? Let's talk about grateful giving. It's been said, it's not the gift, but the thought that counts. And there is some truth to that. If you've had loved ones do something for you, my kids when they were much younger, and they'll make some pancakes and drop it in, and even to this day, you know, my boys will make something, they say, hey, Dad, there's some food for you there in the microwave. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Now, I can cook for myself. I can go and get in there, and I'll try my best. But the fact that they thought about their father and were moved to do something, that part I'm more excited about than those delicious pancakes and bacon and egg. That's how I eat. I'm enjoying. And I'm not, bear with me, not to overly, I don't want to make this a bragging, that lets me know that there's some thoughtfulness and empathy and compassion at work in the people that I love. Because we live in a self-centered world where it's what's in it for me. Who's heard of Wyndham principle? What's in it for me? People do business like that. People do family like that. People do education like that. Paul is in prison for the gospel. And of all the people he's visited, these ones in particular said, hey, what can we do to look out for Paul? Send Epaphroditus. Here's some food, because back then it wasn't like they had like a cafeteria to eat with. When you were in prison, someone had to hand you some food or talk to the guards or give him this blanket. What does he need? This is the kind of effort and thought that the Philippians went through, even at the peril of being harmed themselves. Because the Roman guards and prisoners, warders, they didn't play. So Paul, in writing to them, expresses a sense of gratitude to God that their concern for him had bloomed again. He says, I rejoice that now at the last you've revived your concern for me. And he says it's not that, you know, you didn't have an opportunity, but now you have an opportunity to do something, you're doing it. So he's not rebuking them, but there's a sense that there wasn't an activity going on before. We don't know. You know, life goes on. You see people, you don't see them, you go about your business, and oftentimes we can, not with malice, just forget people. If you have in your mind three people that have made a difference in your life, who are they? Three people that you know the course and direction of your life, it just made a difference, whether near or far, could you call them? Could you visit them? Could you send them a card? Could you let them know, hey, I was thinking about you, and I thank God for you. One of my mentors, Dr. George Taylor, we're in Tampa. I took him out to breakfast, and he's about the age that my father would be if he were alive. And he's just a brilliant man, but he's a very humble man, you know? Somebody that knows a lot but won't let you know it. And so we're just sitting having a good time, and my father's from down south, he's from down south, and we're just talking and talking, and I said, you know, Doc, I really appreciate you. And he said, well, Clemens, I appreciate you too. And there's the, beyond the meal, the blessing I received was to be able to say thank you in a real practical way. Grateful giving is an act of worship. So whether you do it quietly, all on your own. I know there's some who can't maybe make it get out, and they may give online, or you come to church or do that, or you show up on a time where people are coming to get food, and you're glad to put those bags together and look somebody in the eyes and say, God bless you, and you mean it from the heart. Grateful giving is a blessing. And it is so different from the world in which we live. I could camp out here all day long. Paul is in prison. And the gratitude and the act of worship that they're doing transcends their circumstance. So much so, by God's grace, they can be content, which is a miracle. You can be in a difficult circumstance physically, maybe with your family, with work, and live with a degree of contentment, not complacency, but a sense of, I have the Lord and I'm going to be all right. In fact, I'm going to be better than all right. To be content. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be in want. Hear that stomach growling? You know, you go make some top ramen and that's going to be a meal. But I know how to eat some T-bone steak without forgetting that God is good to me, whether it's the steak or the ramen. Not everyone knows how to do those two. Because I submit to you, sometimes being in want, you could be tempted to say, if God were here, I would have more, I wouldn't have this, that, the other, and people get embittered and turn from God because of want and walk away. But then on the other hand, and sorry for the folks at home, and I'm walking away all around here, but the challenge of wealth and prosperity has its issues too. Hey, this is nice. I don't have to cook. I eat out every day. Hey. Wow. And then the wealth and the riches and all the effort to keep it becomes its own idol, and you drift away from relying and depending on the Lord. I'm too busy to worship. I got things to do. I don't have time to, well, what do you mean give? God has everything. He's got the universe. He doesn't need me to give to him. The Bible gives that stern warning. What profits a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You've heard me tell stories. I work in hospitals. I do group discussions on psych units and a variety of things as a chaplain. And I've had people from both these groups in the same room. And it is sobering. And to hear stories, and I just scratch my chin, and I say, Heavenly Father, keep me. So Paul expresses to them from prison a sense of happiness and joy, thankfulness that they gave to him because their giving was an expression of their relationship to God. And Paul is joyful, and he expresses that, I'm happy that you're doing this. And by the way, I'm not saying this happiness because I want to get something from you. I'm saying this because I'm happy of the effect it's going to have on you. To see the body of Christ, I was sitting here to see the different images flash on the screen about missionaries that you support, about even hearing the testimonies. I can't recall the dear... this godly Christian woman who hosts missionaries, you know, in her home, I forget her name, Lois Dodge, just to talk with her, to know that the partnership that this church has is having an impact on this community and around the world, it's beautiful. And I'm grateful to be a part of it. I'm also grateful to have benefited too. So that whether I'm with folks in the city or in the urban area or in the hood or wherever, and I can lift up the name of Jesus, that's what you're partnering with too. And that builds a contentment. Content living is stable. Content living can meet affliction and keep on going. And I imagine there's some folks out here, you've tried the Lord for yourself and found him to be enough. In fact, sometimes it's a blessing to go without because then you can appreciate the basics of things. I grew up, we didn't have a whole lot, but we definitely had each other. I have three big sisters, two are in heaven, and one is still with us. And so my mom, it was just, I was the kid brother. So her way of kind of keeping track on my big sisters was sending me along. Because I was like, ooh, I'm telling mom, that kind of thing. So, you know, when they became a teen, I was about 7 or 8, and I just, that memory is going. And I know they loved me, but I was just a spoiled kid brother. But we had a lot of fun together. We walked to the ocean, to the beach, you know, play hopscotch, you know, kickball, all that kind of stuff. But I remember, growing up, we would celebrate sometimes Halloween. I know Halloween's, that's a whole other issue. Can't get into it now. But sometimes we could afford new costumes, and sometimes, you know, it was like you have to make your own. And so looking back on it, yeah, this, you know, we had to make something. So if we want to make it, you know, you want to be Batman, you're going to need to make a cape. Mom would maybe buy the mask, but the rest is on you, you know? And so one year, my sisters, I'm not sure what they dressed up as, and I recall being the mummy. This is hilarious. Have you ever seen the mummy? So I grew up in Jersey, so I had these Long John thermals. Just imagine this kid, 7 years old, I had these Long John thermals, and my sisters just had a ball. They were wrapping me up with all this tape, right? So they wrapped me up head to toe in tape, my big sisters, and they're wrapping me up, and so I'm walking around, you know, this homemade costume, you know. And when you get together as family, you sit around, you laugh about things. We don't remember struggling. We don't remember, you know, going without. We remember times like that, and we laugh. And to tell this story a little bit more, and I'm talking about gratitude, as we're outside running around and collecting candy, the tape begins to unravel. So eventually, my costume starts to come apart. And they're like, we got to get you back home because you're out here in these streets with your thermals on. Somebody called my mom. He's like, you know, Miss Clemens, your boy's out here running around with. Why do I say this? What am I talking about? I'm talking about a sense of contentment. We had enough. Happy. Go home, pop some popcorn, you know, eat some snacks, call it a night. Dinner's not there, but you got a bowl of cereal. And bow your head and give thanks to God. So Paul, in that cistern that we just saw a little while ago, is writing under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he has joy in a very dark place. He's like, I learned it. I found it. I have it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you have that? Are you living in that? Because you and I may find ourselves in moments that Paul was in, and that same God is available to you and to me. Grateful giving, content living. One of my patients, a 17-year-old fella who was born with developmental disabilities, hooked up with all these different tubes, he had 3 pages of knock-knock jokes. And so I would go by, he's like, Chaplain Clemens, I got some new ones for you. I'm like, okay, give it to me. And he's just zinging jokes left and right. And so we're in the room laughing, having a good time, and nurses are coming in, and he's like pointing out, and he's like, check this out, I could do this and make this thing go over here. And he's just having a ball. And he's having joy. I had a patient one time, and I hope you're not queasy by this. He's a construction worker, and he fell down, and a metal pole went from here to here, and they had to cut it off. And so he's in there. He's like, hey, man, check this out. And he's posing with the staff and everything and just having a ball. And, you know, and I'm not trying to sound facetious, but there is a sense that you can have joy in a variety of circumstances if you invite the Lord in. And I've seen it for myself. So, let's invite Jesus in. And let's push out in gratitude. Push out complaining. Be thankful. Be grateful. Be grateful in giving. Be content in living. And lastly, glorify God. Glorify God. Paul, having expressed his heartfelt thankfulness to them and in gratitude and sending the help and support through Epaphroditus, saying that your gift is a fragrant aroma, acceptable sacrifice, verse 18, well-pleasing to God. There were sacrifices that were burned, these physical things that went up, and the scripture describes how God would receive these things. And it's kind of powerful because sometimes in the Bible, it describes his displeasure, like the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah went up to him. It was displeasing. Like, you get a sense, it's almost like the term, and here's, forgive me, it's a big old fancy word, anthropomorphic, that it was a stench in the nostrils of God. Not that God has a nose like me, but he's describing the effect of what negatively others are doing. Here, Paul is saying something positive, that their gift came from such a deep place that it was well-pleasing and an aroma. And then he talked about the glory of God, and he issues even this encouragement that God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word there, glory, doke, is speaking to this high, exalted place that God is in. He is like no other. He is in a category all by himself. Old Testament, the word would be kavod, means that there's a weightiness to, back in the 70s, to say if you heard something that was deep, like that's heavy. Well, God is heavy. He's weighted with glory. He's not like anyone else. And there is a sense that when we live with him in a grateful way, in a content way, seeking to please him, he gets glory out of our lives. Beyond our circumstances. Jesus said, let your light so shine, people see your good works and glorify. It is glorious to trust him to provide. It is glorious to worship him when you have a lot and when you have a little. It is glorious to let your joy be your joy in the Lord be your strength. God is glorified when Christians act like it. I'm preaching to myself now. I need to say it. God is not glorified in complaining Christians. God is not glorified in whining Christians. I'm preaching to myself. If this applies to you, so be it. God is not glorified in Christians who are more fearful of man and circumstances than the God who created the universe. But Christians who could have joy, have a bank account to draw upon in the circumstances of life because your God will supply all of your needs according to his riches. I didn't say that. My God did. Give him praise. That's all right. That's who your God is. And church family, we can afford to trust God. Started off, we're led, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. So as I come to a close and we pray, I'm going to invite the worship team back up. What are you grateful for to God? Who are you grateful for to God? What circumstance do you find yourself in that you can express that gratitude by trusting him? Trust him in a little. And if the Lord turns it around, trust him in much. And give him honor and glory through it all. Because that same God has been with you through thick and thin. Let us pray. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to take, to know what saith the Lord. Thank you for the letter that you gave to Paul to remind us to rejoice in you, to be in unity with you, to be thankful and grateful to you. I ask your blessing on your church, those who are here visiting, and those online, that we will be rooted and anchored in our faith in you. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.